You know, each year, our society usually sets that time aside, and we make a list of the priorities in life and the things that we want to focus on and put at the top of our list and try to accomplish as we go in to the new year. And whether you actually made a so-called, you know, New Year priority checklist or New Year's resolution list, we each usually do think of things that we want to try to get better at and that we want to try to focus more on in the coming year. And hopefully for us, if you set this time aside and actually went through and thought of some of the things you wanted to work on, spiritual matters were at the top of the list. You know, in society, it seems like that would probably not be the case. Most of the time when people talk about New Year's resolutions and make their posts on social media, it revolves around things of a worldly manner, material things, things that they can accomplish in their lives to gain them or to seek gain for themselves in a sense from a monetary standpoint, from a job standpoint, or to accomplish things on a personal manner that is focused and revolves around worldly things. But today we're going to look and consider our ways, consider our priorities, and how they align, hopefully, with the spiritual priorities that God has given us. We're going to start in the book of Haggai. A brief background on the book of Haggai. It's set in the year 520 BC. It's about 18 years after the people of Israel have returned from Babylonian captivity. And it's about 14 years since they've stopped working on the temple. So if you remember, when they come back to Israel from Babylon, they're commanded to rebuild the temple. They spend about 2 years doing that, and then they stop. And their priorities and what they focus on, what they put at the forefront of their lives, override or overrule the command and direction that God gave them to rebuild the temple. It's in the, also in the same time frame in the Bible that is discussed in Ezra. So we have the viewpoint in Ezra, kind of the entire timeline here of what's going on with rebuilding the temple. And then we have the specific focus of what God tells Haggai to prophesy to the people. So we'll begin here. We're going to read Haggai 1. We're going to start in verse 1 through 6 and see that the people have the wrong priorities to begin with. Haggai 1, starting in verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and the temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes." Haggai points out the people have the wrong priorities. And what a fearful statement to hear from the creator of the universe, to consider your ways. Notice what the people are complaining about here in the first part of Haggai. They're hungry. They're saying they're working without fruit, or they're working in vain. They're not seeing the results of their labor. Haggai points out that they're dwelling in paneled houses, or the idea when he says paneled houses, it's made out of the same material that usually the king's palace would be made out of. And these people have come back to the promised land and put the effort in rebuilding their own homes and put the house of God on the back burner. And God calls them out on this. Consider your ways. You see, they're grumbling, they're complaining that they are going through these struggles with lack of food, lack of money, and lack of support in their lives, but they're not putting God first. And God calls them out on this, this mindset that what we want, what we desire, our personal gains, when we put that in front of what God wants, the consequences are going to show up in every aspect of our lives. But watch what God does here in verses 7 through 11 when he gives them direction. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Again, that saying, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that it is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Verse 10. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the grounds bring forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. You see, the people were complaining in the first part of this chapter of everything that was going wrong, and they weren't realizing that everything was going wrong because they weren't putting the thing that needed to be first, and that's God. Does that happen in our own lives today? Do we sometimes get caught up in what we have, what we want, what we're seeking, our worldly possessions, material thoughts and ideas, and we start to think and blame other things when in reality our focus is probably not where it should be centered on? God. You see, the people were having the same issues that so many people, including ourselves, have today. Struggling with the thoughts and the pleasures of this world when they should be putting God first. But God gives them direction. He tells them what they must do here, and it's to rebuild the temple and to put what they want on the back burner. And we're going to see the results of that and how he blesses the people in verses 12 through 15. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. You see the mindset starting to shift here, going from what I want, what I desire, what I need physically, to what God needs, deserves, and commands for us to give him. Verse 13, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke to the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. The people changed their mind. The people reorganize their priorities. They went from being worried about what they had, what they needed, what they want and sought, to making sure that God was put first. And God tells them, because of that, he's going to be with them. He's going to support them. And you see the full fruition of this come to the forefront in Haggai 2, verses 18 through 19. Watch the blessings that come from this sort of mindset and this sort of effort from the people. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But from this day, I will bless you. You see, when the people reprioritize their life, what they were putting first, what they were seeking, and they put God in front of what they wanted materially, God said what you were actually seeking is going to be fulfilled because of that mindset. It's the same way with us today. When we seek God, when we put God at the forefront of our priorities, when we consider our ways to make sure that we're aligning with what God has commanded us, all the other things that we get caught up with materially, with what we're going to eat, with what we have, or where we live, God will take care of that. He will make sure that we're taken care of. You know, this is a principle that's repeated multiple times throughout the New Testament, but especially in Matthew 6. If you want to turn to Matthew 6, where Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount, he's going through all these different principles and teaching there to the people that have gathered to hear him. And if you come down to verse 24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus is setting the stage here. Jesus was the master teacher because of the way he could tie together principles and thoughts that the people would be familiar with when he was teaching them basic things. So he puts them in the mindset of the many times when the people of Israel were concerned about simple things like what they were going to eat, what they had, and where they were going to live. And then God, Jesus here, focuses them to the most important thing. They might have been thinking here when Jesus says, you cannot serve God and mammon, of the exact story that we just read in Haggai. When the people were concerned about what they were eating, that the drought was happening, that they didn't have these things that they were working for, and it was all in vain. But God eventually blessed them once they refocus their priorities. It may have been that they're thinking about in the wilderness, when they were crying out for food, and they were worried that they weren't going to be able to eat, and God continuously gave them mammon on a daily basis to make sure that their needs were taken care of. But their priorities, their focus, always had to be first and foremost on God and fulfilling his righteousness. So Jesus sets the stage here, puts them in that mindset of you cannot serve God and mammon, and then he gives the actual teaching in verse 25. Therefore, because of this, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but, here's the entire point of his message, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Our priority in life. Every year, the New Year resolution that we should have as Christians, that we strive for each day, is seeking the righteousness of God and putting the priorities of the church, his kingdom, first in our lives. The things that we worry about consistently on a daily basis, our house, our clothes, our jobs, our personal matters, are of little consequence when it comes to eternity and the importance of the work of the church of God. We will be taken care of. Even those who went through trials, temptations, who suffered, who even died because of the lack of some of these things that are pointed out that we're talking about today, if they put the kingdom of God first, or if they sought the righteousness of God and how they lived their lives, their reward is an eternity in heaven where they'll never want, where they'll never have a need for anything. It's the same thing for us today. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? Are we putting the most important thing first in our lives and everything else to the back burner? God will provide. He will take care of us. And he will ensure that we have a means of living and taking care of our families. And then finally, this principle is also reaffirmed for all time in Colossians. So we have it initially in Haggai and other passages in the Bible. We have it by Jesus on the Sermon of the Mount. And then Paul, writing to the church of Colossae, reaffirms it again in Colossians. And really, when you think about the church of Colossians and what was going on here, we know that Paul had not ever visited the church at Colossae. When he wrote this letter, he was more than likely imprisoned in Rome, and a leader of the church of Colossae had come to him and told him some of the things that they were struggling with here in the local church. And really what it came down to is they were getting away and they were forgetting the great importance of who Jesus was is and how they are called to serve him. And in chapter 2 of Colossians, it's pointed out that they had even started to worship angels. They are starting to observe and trying to bind the different feasts and rituals to the new covenant. And Paul, throughout Colossians, in the first two chapters, really tries to bring them back and center them on who Jesus is, that he is all-powerful, that there is no other being worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise, who has ensured that we have that salvation if we walk righteously other than Jesus. So when we come to Colossians 3, after Paul has kind of explained all this, the importance of everything, of who Christ is, Paul wraps it all up in verse 1 and following. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then, so because of all this, because of the power of Christ and who he is, you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So, just as been repeated in the previous two pieces of scripture that we read, what we have to do first and foremost as Christians is set our mind on things that are above. And it's an important principle that Paul's tying here in the first four verses of Colossians 3 directly connects to Romans 6 and a few others of his writing, that to be called Christians, to fully submit to the will of God, is going to take something from us. It's going to take something of us in terms of sacrificing our wants, our earthly pleasures, our earthly desires, and making sure that Christ is the leader and the forefront, number one on that list of priorities that we have. And then notice in verse 5, if we have that mindset, what is that going to call us to do? Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You see, the priorities that we have to have as Christians are simply laid out. You put to death everything that you have an issue with, whether it be worldliness, whether it be struggling with a certain sin, whether it be struggling with the mindset of everything that we get wrapped up in on this earth. Paul says you have to put to death all of that. And at the forefront, you have to put Christ. And then notice that we're called to do this. We're called to put off stuff, but then Paul goes further and tells us what we're actually supposed to do, what we're supposed to put on, and how that manifests in our behavior towards our fellow man. In verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And then notice verse 17 as he concludes his thought. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And that's the perfect summary to our thoughts today. When it comes to our priorities, when it comes to considering our ways, just as the people of the Old Testament in the book of Haggai were called to do by God, are we today, as New Testament Christians, putting God and Jesus first in everything that we do? This morning, if you have not initially put on Christ in baptism, unfortunately, you cannot make that statement. But fortunately, you have the opportunity right now to do so. The Bible is very plain and simple when it comes to the plan of salvation. If you heard the word, if you believe it, if you're willing to repent or change your lifestyle and model it after what we've talked about today, model it after the things of Christ and the example that he led, that leads you to confession and ultimately being submersed with him in baptism, we are promised that God will raise you up a new creation, added to the church with the promise and the hope of eternal salvation. Maybe you are a Christian and your priorities, your ways have not been where they need to be. There's no better time to make that right than now.